Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
John chapter 8, verse 24. I said therefore unto you, this is Jesus speaking, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Life or death identity. You may be seated. I don't know how many of you watch the news channels, CNN and Fox. There's a guy on Fox that comes on and talks about the Lord, and then he ends up by saying, and by the way, pick up a bottle of my whiskey. Somehow that just doesn't seem right to me. Did you know that there are more deaths related to alcohol? Three times as many deaths related to alcohol every year in America as there are guns. So if we're going to get rid of guns, we've got to get rid of alcohol. I think we tried that once. It was called Prohibition. It didn't work. But there is such a conflict with what Christianity is. And we're living in a time where a lot of people don't come to Christ, but even those that profess they are believers are so foreign to the concepts of Christianity. And we are said to not judge one another, but the Bible tells us expressly that by their fruits you shall know them. Christianity will change you. Christianity will transform you. It will change the way you think. It will change the way you talk. It will change your friends. It will change where you go. And there is a false believism that is prevalent in the church today that is extremely deceptive. And the Apostle Paul warns us, deceive not yourself. You know, you can deceive your spouse or your pastor or your friends, but to deceive yourself is to damn yourself. And so many people are deceiving themselves that they can say, I love Jesus, I believe in the Lord, but they have no experience with God whatsoever. And Christ warned us of that. He said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will be saved. He said, in that day they will say, we've cast out devils in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. But Christ said, and I will say unto you, depart, I never knew you. Knowing Christ is an intimate part of Christianity. Christianity is not a philosophical religion. It's an experience with God Almighty in the form of his Son Christ. And you don't visit him on holidays. But every day of your life, you have a relationship with him. You walk with him. You talk with him. He is a part of your life. There is no more emphatic, absolute statement concerning salvation in the entire Bible than the text that I have just read to you. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. That's Christ. Not a third party, that's Jesus speaking. He added the emphasis by saying it himself. And there are so many people that say, well, I accept Christ, and there is no apparent change in their life. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The question I pose to you, is everybody that's loved by God saved? No. We have to respond. Love cannot be a one-way street. It has to be responded. It has to be reciprocal. Jesus said, lovest thou me, Peter, three times. He drives it home. Lovest thou me more than these? And then he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Friend, there is evidence of faith. James talked about it. He said, show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith has evidence. If you say, I believe, there will be evidence. To say that you have faith and nothing happens is self-deception. To say that I believe and nothing happens is self-deception. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said. There's the key. You know, I'm a great fan of the success of Oprah Winfrey. She just pulled herself up by her bootstraps to become a billionaire. It's amazing. But I'm not much of a fan of her theology. Because when she says there are many ways that lead to God, I have to choose between Oprah and Jesus. And as much as I admire her, I'm going to choose Jesus every time. And not only that, but there's a lady sitting over here I've been married to over a half a century, but I will choose Jesus over her, and she will choose Jesus over me. And so when we get in an argument about you or the Word of God, I'm going to have to choose the Word of God every time. And the Bible is extremely clear. If you believe on him as the scripture has said, something is going to happen to you. He said, believe on me as the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. You know, people seek the Holy Spirit. You should have been with me as a boy and a kid and a young man growing up in the Pentecostal church where they sought the Holy Spirit. They wanted to speak in tongues so bad. They beat altars. They cried. They carried on all kinds of things. None of that's necessary to receive the Holy Spirit. It's a promise that Christ said, I will give to you so readily. The Father will give it to you so readily. It will be like a father giving bread to a hungry son. The Holy Spirit is readily available. And so how do you receive it? How many hallelujahs does it take? How many trips to the altar? How high should I lift my hand? None of those things are required. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, just begin to meditate on Christ and who he really is. And so Jesus emphatically declared, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. It's quite a statement. It's quite a statement. How could it be more clear? Except you believe that I am he. But you have to qualify the he. You talk about pronouns. You have to qualify who the he is. Who was Jesus? And who is Jesus? Because he not only was, he is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And through thick and thin, he's been my Lord and my Savior all of these years. And so when we talk about identity, the most important thing you can do in your life is identify Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? The Bible warns us that there are many that will try to pass themselves off as Christ, but there's only one Jesus Christ. There will be a false Christ. The Bible said in the last days, there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders. It's just amazing the influence that Jim Jones had to persuade those people to go to the jungle in Guyana. They followed him because they believed him to be a Christ. Friend, you have to be able to identify the true Christ, who he is. Closer to home here in Waco, Texas, David Koresh passed himself off as a Christ and caused children and adults to die in that fiery inferno in Waco, Texas, claiming to be a Christ. It's the reason why you have to know the scripture, folks. You have to know the scripture. If you're not, you can be deceived. If you don't know the scripture, people will deceive you. If you don't know the scripture, you will deceive yourself. I saw this, and I mentioned it Thursday night, but it was just such a profound little statement somebody put on online. And it said, saying, the Lord told me, is not the same as saying, the Bible says. You can say, the Lord told me anything. But when you said, the Bible says, I can look there and see if it really says that or not. Ground yourself in the Word of God. That he that kept, the Bible said they will come preaching another Jesus in 2 Corinthians. The Bible said they will come preaching another gospel that reveals a different Christ. But the Apostle Paul said, if anybody comes preaching another Christ, he said, let him be accursed. And as one preacher I heard say, said, if he comes preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. And then he said again, let him be accursed. He said, cuss him too. I don't think that's exactly what it meant. But it does mean that that is a false doctrine. Another Christ. Do you know the real Christ? Jesus, who was he? And who did he claim to be? You know, many accepted that he was a rabbi. Nicodemus came at night and said, I know that you're a rabbi or a great teacher come from God. But that's not enough. There's everybody that believes that Christ was a good man. That's not enough. It's not enough that he's a rabbi or a spiritual leader or a great teacher. No, Jesus Christ was more than that. Jesus Christ was Emmanuel, God with us. Did you know that the Scripture teaches emphatically that Christ is the creator of the universe? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Said it was created by the word of God. But John 1 and 1 defines that word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Christ is the living word. The Word was made flesh, he said in John 1:14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, that we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's who Christ is. Remember, he said, except you believe that I am he. He who? The creator of the universe. Jesus Christ, God with us, Emmanuel. The Bible said that he is the cornerstone of the church and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The Bible said that Jesus Christ was the Son of Man. He was so inclusive. In him dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What a Christ he was. What a Savior he was. He was the Son of Man. Years ago, a friend of mine called me, and he said, hey, I want you to have this preacher. And he said, he's amazing. He's just amazing. I said, well, I would have to hear him. He said, he's a Hebrew scholar. He's teaching Hebrew at the University of Texas. And said he believes that Jesus Christ is God. But said also something else that's so unique. He said he can prove that Jesus is God, but he was not the Son of God. And I said, wait just a minute. Do you understand what you're saying? Jesus was God, but he was the Son of God. He was the first begotten. We are saved because male or female, we are the sons of God. And if Christ was not the Son of God, we're not the sons of God. And if we're not the sons of God, we can't be saved. Well, the reason why that man was teaching that because he was a Hebrew scholar, and he said all the Gospels were in error because they were in Greek, and he could prove, oh, no, friend, he was God, but he was also the Son of God. He was not only the Son of God and God, he was also the Son of Man. What an amazing Savior Jesus is. How much man was he? He was so much man that he got just as sleepy and weary as you do, and he went to sleep on the boat. But he was so much God that when they woke him up, he spoke to the waves, and he spoke to the wind, and they lay down like a puppy dog at his feet. What a Savior. You must believe on him as the Scripture has said. Except you believe that I am he. He was so much man that he said, I am hunger. Even Jesus had a Big Mac attack. He said, I am hungry. I'm hungry. But it was so much God that he could take a few fishes and a few loaves and feed 5,000 men. He was so much man that he spit in a blind guy's eye. But he was so much God that that spittle caused the blind man to see. He was so much man that he wept in Lazarus' grave. But he was so much God, he said, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the grave. Oh, hallelujah. Death turned Lazarus loose. He was so much man that he borrowed a tomb for his own funeral. But it was so much God that the tomb could not hold him. He came forth. Hallelujah. What a God he is. He's so much God that the Father gave him a name that is above every name, that the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. His name is Jesus Christ. I cannot overemphasize what he is. Except you believe that I am he, you should die in your sins. Oh, he is everything I need. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, he is God before me and God after me. He is God beside me. He is God on my left and he is God on my right. He is God, my Savior, and he's in this room today. Oh, hallelujah. He is Jesus Christ, the mediator. Before he would give the keys to the kingdom to Peter, that was going to preach the first keynote address at the birth of the church, Jesus would say, who do men say that I am, Peter? And he'd say, well, some say you're Jeremiah, and some say you're Elijah. But he said, I got the keys, Peter. I've got to know, who do you say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Before you can be saved, there has to be a revelation of who Christ is. He is the mediator between God and man, the Bible declares. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. It is the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself ransom for all. Jesus is God. That is the claim that he made that got him crucified. If he had never made a claim to deity, they would have never crucified him on that cross. But my friend, he was and is deity. Jesus claimed identity that caused his crucifixion. Not only that, I've said for years, and it is so true, we like to think that there is no corruption in politics. You know, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, I thought America had clean government. But friend, the last 30 years has been an awakening in my mind that we're not only a banana republic, we are a big clump of bananas. This is corrupt. And you know why it's corrupt? Because people have always got friends, and they're always helping their friends. It's not who you are, it's who you know. Friend, let me tell you what. When you die, it's going to be who you know. Do you know who Jesus is? Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. I don't believe Christ was a liar. I don't believe he was an imposter. I don't believe that he blasphemed when he declared to be God. I believe that he is God incarnate. Do you know the Bible said, charge thee therefore God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in his appearing in his kingdom. Jesus Christ is the judge. Jesus Christ is the judge. Friend, if I ever got in trouble, I would want to know the judge. But Jesus is the judge. That's kind of a scary thought until you believe that I am he. My little children, he says, I'm the judge. But then he says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What does that mean? That means that Jesus Christ judged you and found you guilty. And you stood before him. And now He took off the robe of the judge and came to stand beside you and called himself the advocate. Not only is he your judge, he is your defense attorney. The fix is in. The fix is in, my friend. If you will believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, you can't be lost. It will transform you. It will change you. It will cause a river to flow out of your innermost being. Jesus Christ is my judge, but he's also my counsel, my advocate, my attorney, my law. Praise God, he is my lawyer. He is my defender. And everything that can be, you know, there are witnesses. Did you know that the devil himself is a witness against you? The Bible said that, an accuser of the brethren. But every time he brings up a sin and an accusation against me, my advocate said, that was true, but I paid for that sin. It's been paid in full. It's been paid in full. You see, my sins are always past tense, but my forgiveness is always present acknowledgement. It's a big difference. A big difference. I believe that he is who he said he was. I believe he is the lover of my soul. I believe that he is my advocate. I believe that he is my savior. I believe that he came and took my place. And because of that, I have every confidence that Jesus Christ is my Savior. It's an amazing thing when you realize that you're not perfect in your flesh, but you're perfect in your salvation. You're perfect in your redemption, and not because of yourself. I boast not in myself or my flesh, but I boast in Christ. Have you met my Jesus? He's never lost a case. He's never been defeated. He makes Perry Mason and Johnny Cochran look like failures. He is my advocate. Except you believe that I am he, you should die in your sins. Let me tell you, I believe that he is he. He found me when I was lost because he left the 99 and came for me. Somebody said that don't make sense unless you're the lost one, and then it makes a lot of sense. Jesus Christ saved me. He picked me up. When I fall, he picks me up. When I sin, he is just to forgive me. When I fail, he said, I'll cover it with my blood. When I fall, he is my strength, and he's in this room today. And that's the reason why Jesus Christ is not somebody that I visit twice a year. Shame on those people that only go to see him on Christmas and Easter. Jesus Christ is my Christ in the midnight hour. He is my Jesus every day. Before I talk to my doctor, I talk to Jesus. Before I talk to my lawyer, I talk to Jesus. Before I talk to my banker, I talk to Jesus. Before I talk to my wife, I talk to Jesus. He is my all in all. Folks, I should have been dead and gone, but he won't let me die. I should have been cast aside, but he won't let me be cast aside. I believe that he's he who he said he was, and he's in this room right now. You say, the biggest mistake, and I've seen this forever, the biggest mistake that people make is they tell me, I can't live for God. Preacher, I know I need to come to church and I know I need to give my life, but I just can't live for God. I can't either. But when I came to Jesus Christ, something happened to me. He transformed me. The Apostle Paul would say, when I would do good, evil is present, but Christ is with me. Ladies and gentlemen, that Christ is walking this room in these aisles and going from pew to pew and person to person. I love the stories in the Bible where the crowds gathered and Christ went from person to person to see what their needs were. And he's in this room today and he's telling you it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. I am the ever-present help in the time of need. I am your solution now. I am your advocate now. I am your attorney now. I am ready to plead your case now. No excuses. You say, what is the excuse? You don't have to have an excuse, because your debt is paid in full by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so don't dilute Christ in one of many. He's a solo act. He's one by himself. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and last. He is the only wise Savior, and he's here today. And he said, come unto me, I will take your case. Have you ever gone to an attorney? And he said, I don't want to take your case because you're guilty. But when you go to Christ, he said, you're guilty, but I'll take your case anyway. And I promise you, I win it in my name, in the name of Jesus. Christ is here in this room right now. Hallelujah. I've told you 15 times about the hitman that I've led to Christ. And when he went to court, he asked me, he said, do I have to, now that I'm a Christian, do I have to confess to the judge that I had all those people killed and I killed all those people? I said, you don't have to, sir. You've already confessed it to Christ. Already confessed it to Christ. I thank God for all the good attributes of Catholicism, but they've got this one wrong. You don't have to confess to a man. We have not a priest, we have a high priest, a priest over every priest. Confess your sins to Christ, and he will blot out your transgressions. He will wash them with his blood. My question to you today, do you believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he was? That he is God omnipotent. He is Emmanuel. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. He's your judge. He's your lawyer. He's your intercessor. And he loves you with an insurmountable, unfailing love. And he stands at this altar today with arms outstretched and said, run, do not walk. Run into my arms, and I will cover you, and I will forgive you and present you to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you stand on your feet?